Welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast. It is time to get into another episode of the Challenge 38 Ride or Dies. We have lost another challenger. We have lost an entire team. They said it might not be done, but it did get done. It has been done. I, of course, am one of your hosts here, Matt Ligori, alongside my co-host, Brian Scally. Scally, how are you?
Oh, hello, hello. I'm good. Glad to be here. I just want to start with, I am a dog. I would say that you are probably more of a cat.
I am a cat.
Yeah, you are a cat, but I'm glad to be back here talking about the Challenge 38.
You're a dog. You're a dog. You're a dog. I'm a fucking dog. Okay, Mr.
Exactly.
Walker.
Exactly. Okay. Thank God Devin's back. That's what I need on my screen.
I was not offended. I was not against the pink suit. I don't know why I would be, but I think it was a good look on him.
Okay, the pink suit. Yeah, I'm not opposed to it.
In this week's challenge fashion photo review, the pink suit gets the pass with me. So there's that. But yeah, so where do we start? I feel like I'm all over the place in terms of my challenge world right now because so I had been like cramming before this podcast started to try to finish. Nerese did an interview on Challenge Mania and I'm like still back in that week because I'm like following all of that. And I feel like there's been stuff on Twitter. And then there's this week's episode. So I don't know. I'm just all over the place, but.
All right. Yeah. Whatever you want to start with, I am good with. I am fine to revisit last week before this week, or I'm fine to tie up Nerissa's story when she re-enters at the end.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't anything super significant, but like literally 20 minutes before we got on, I was listening to her talk about like the Chris Brown of it all. I don't know if you got that story.
I saw a Reddit post that, maybe a little less sad about Nerissa leaving this week.
Nerissa was like, oh yeah, that's like my good friend. Like he's a great guy and this and that. Like she's like, you know, besides like, you know, but like, you know.
Yeah, I feel like the quote was, he's a great guy besides the stuff you know about, which like, yeah, well, we know a lot. So
yeah, she was in one of his music videos a long time ago. And like, I don't know, the story is something along the lines of Emmy. Remember Emmy from this season of The Challenge? She was on about half an episode. She had DM'd Chris Brown after she got home saying that Nerissa was telling everybody that they were together. And obviously Nerissa is like denying that that ever came out of her mouth. She was just saying that they knew each other or whatever. And I don't know. It was just a really weird way to end that podcast. And it's still in my head.
That is a weird thing. I feel like I don't take Emmy seriously as a narrator, but at the same time, I feel like Nerissa is in a lot of drama postseason, which does make me kind of also question things Nerissa says, not necessarily on this one, but, you know, moving forward, I'm always going to be having an eye on, like, is Nerissa really instigating this drama and, you know, not so much the victim here.
I'm glad the question got answered this week of do they bring back the, you know, eliminated person to show to their partner to say, hey, look, this person's still here, which they did. And it was exactly as expected. I mean, we were like running out of time in the episode. I was watching it in real time for the first time this entire season because it was an option now that the other show is over. I just was busy last week. So I watched it in real time and it was getting to the end. And I was like, there's no time. They're not going to bring Nerissa out. And then like in the nick of time, in the last second they did.
Funny how the first episode that's not competing against Survivor has a massive jump in viewership. That's so weird how that works.
As if
we all could have predicted a major problem with the ratings.
It just makes no sense. I don't really.
Huh.
Yeah. they brought her out at like the last second to, you know, to be like, you know, of course they did the whole thing with Nelson to be like, well, you know, you could have come back in, but your ride or die is already out and she's going to be disappointed in you and hate you forever because if you, well, that's not what TJ said, but it's kind of what it felt like. So we did get that moment.
Yeah, I don't feel like I needed it necessarily. I think that it was almost just like rubbing like salt in the wound, maybe just like talk to Nelson and just like even be like, there was a twist. I don't know that we needed Nerissa there for him to like then have to apologize to her, because even though like she's not gonna blame him and it's not his fault, you know, any more than hers, it's like, he still like has to, like, that's an obligation regardless, like whoever lasts longer is like, I'm so sorry. But I don't know, it was what it was. Again, I felt like mostly neutral on whoever left here this week.
Yeah, and I was also thinking about, like, this, like, they heard us last week about, you know, or they heard me. I was the one that was being more annoyed about the fact that there's a night out segment every single week, and there was not one this week. So I was like, oh, great, there's a little extra time that they can sprinkle around. But they still had the Nelson and Norris thing at the very end. I hear you saying, you know, I don't know how much I needed it, but, like, they still squeezed it in at the end. It's like, you had so much extra time to go, but it's okay. We went to the elimination with, like, a half hour left.
Yeah, I just don't know what we were going to even do with that segment, to be honest. So it is what it is. I feel like, you know, what were we really going to get there?
Yeah. All right, let's swing back around to the top and talk through another episode. We are three episodes deep into the new twist format. You know, we still have been debating how long this is going to go for. Certainly will go until at least next week. You got to have an even number there. So could it end after next week, or are we going to get two more? I don't know.
I think two more at least.
Well, I guess it would be three more to make it six.
Well, yeah, three more. You know what I mean?
But we'll see. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. So beginning of the episode, Amber's back in the house. Norris is gone. Jordan loses his cuddle buddy. Nelson loses his ride or die in the game, who he really did have a good connection with. One team has been dominating. The other team has not been dominating. Obviously, Devin wants to inspire some confidence in his team, and we'll see how that goes throughout the episode. The first note that I really have of significance here is about two people that are together, anything but significant. Amber and Chauncey are boring the crap out of me every single segment that they get together. Every single segment is so dry.
That's interesting. I wouldn't say it's inaccurate. I feel like the only time it was good was when it was like them against Nelson, kind of, in the week that Nelson was in power a couple weeks ago. Like they were trying to like scheme and figure that out. I don't think it was like the most compelling television, but I would agree that if it's just them being like lovey-dovey, I'm not that interested.
And that's what every segment is. There's one at the beginning of this episode. There's one towards the end of this episode when they think that Chauncey might go in. And it's just Amber being like, I love my man. Like, he's so great. I just want the best for him and the best for us and, you know, all this stuff. And, I mean, he gets a couple of confessionals doing some basic narration of, like, you know, whether it's about the two of them or just about the game. And it also feels like you see him, like, with the rest of their team, you know, the rest of his team. It's like he's not even there. I mean, it's a bunch of, like, people that make sense in the challenge world, and then Chauncey. And I don't know if I'm being too harsh on him, but it's just, I'm not seeing him as a mainstay. I'm not seeing anybody else in the house seeing him as a mainstay. I feel like nobody's taking him super seriously. And I don't mean that in the way of, like, people are thinking he's like some kind of joke, like he's, you know, but like, I don't see anyone building relationships with this guy being like, oh, he's going to be back. I need to like work with him. It could just not be seeing it, but it's just, I don't see what we're getting here.
I mean, there's a whole plan to save him this week. Nelson talks about on the podcast
because of how useless he is.
Yeah, people were like not really scared of Chauncey. So I think that he's fine. My question more then comes down to like, if the deal is we either get Amber and Chauncey moving forward or we don't get Amber, which of those options are you taking?
I'll take Amber. I'll take both of them if that needs to be the case, but it certainly doesn't need to be the case. They're not.
Well, I just don't know if she's doing this show for too much longer without him.
We'll see. I mean, it's certainly not make or break. Like, if you tell me, like, I need to have the two of them together, unless, like, you know, Chauncey steps it up a little bit and gives me a little bit more to pay attention to, it's just I'm not. So I don't need to beat on this too much. I'm just, you know, very, very underwhelmed.
Maybe if they break up, it'll be interesting.
Still no. I mean, then I'll just be happy that Amber's, you know, able to go on the show by herself. And I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm just really not getting it as a TV character. Bananas and Nani check in. And in the same exact kind of way, we're getting the same thing from these two every single week. I just want to help Nani win. Bananas is great.
Yeah, I hate these scenes, which probably bother me even more because I'm just like predisposed to being annoyed with the vets in general. And I think we also like I expect more of them because it's like Bananas and Nani, like they're always going to get segments. And so when they get segments that are like this dry, I'm bored. Like they're entertaining people. We could have gotten something better out of them.
We're not. It's literally, you know, they go outside. They know that they need to, you know, the camera crews are following them. And let's just talk about, you know, nothing has changed. It's boring.
I mean, I would venture to say, give me one interesting moment that Bananas has had this season.
Let's see if I can think of it off the top of my head. Nope.
Yeah.
Even his birthday party was boring.
Everything I feel like has been really boring. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not even stirring up drama amongst other people.
Yeah. I mean, some could say that's smarter gameplay. And maybe he's at a point now where it's like, well, I've already gotten all these wins. Like, let me, and I, like, he can't, I mean, he's what, 40 now, right? That was the birthday
something
he just had.
Like that. Yeah.
So he's also like probably slowing down a little bit. And like, I'm not saying 40's old, but like, he's not 20 like he used to be. Like,
I'm sure that he will, you know, do just as many dirty deeds as he would in his 30s.
You're probably right. Well, he's not. And bored. I'm bored. So let's get into these two FaceTime calls that we're going to get to with two very, you know, two people we're so excited to see on our screens. Nelson is going to FaceTime Corey, who we haven't seen since last season. And Jordan is going to FaceTime Sasha, his friend.
I do always love like people in the MTV universe getting credited as like someone's friend.
Yeah.
So it's being like, this is Nelson's friend. Like, yeah, we know. Mm-hmm. So that was fun. Interesting to see him being like, cut Fessel. You gotta like, why are you working with the enemy? But like, not much else there.
Not much else here. I mean, I even like when Wes was FaceTiming Bananas. Like, I don't mind it at all. I like to see these people when they're not on the season. Just like a like, it's a friendly face. And at this point in the season, you know, we're going so slow cutting people out. We're certainly not bringing anyone back in. So sure, FaceTime anyone that I know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not anyone. I don't need Nelson calling Hunter and being like, "Hey, bro, give me some advice." Like,
yeah,
TYB.
No, thank you.
You heard like babies crying in the background for Corey. Like, that's to be expected. And yeah, Corey was just surprised to hear that Fessy was being, Fessy and Nelson were working together. So there's that. And just a little bit of a reminder of Nelson's here for his mom and I guess his brother back home. So, you know, they were really like, this was a very Nelson heavy episode, which makes sense given that this was his elimination episode. But it's interesting. I feel like a lot of people up until this week had been talking about Nelson as somebody that's just, you know, playing such a great game. Could this be his time? Could this be his season? All for, you know, this episode to again be like highlighting just so many, you know, like a personal story, all this stuff. And then, you know, for it to end the way it did.
Nelson has been like the tragic hero of the last however many seasons. Like, what, since he basically quit the game for Corey, I feel like Nelson has been like, oh, isn't it so sad that Nelson loses every season? Mm-hmm. And like, that's been his storyline. I feel like they are going to have like the biggest celebration should Nelson ever win. And like, if Nelson ever retires, I feel like he's gonna get like a Leroy-esque send-off at this point. But I think that's kind of what he's doomed to, is just like, isn't it sad how he lost again?
Devin Simone on the Challenge podcast had, Nelson on, and she was like, if you ever win, like, I want to be that first interview. Like, you better call me up. Like, cause everybody's rooting for the guy to like get the job done at this point. Like, this is his, I want to say 9th season, right? I think he said, and he just has not been able to get the win. And he's not alone in that. Like, look around, Nani, Anissa, like, Tori, like people, you know, that are out there that have played, maybe I can't compare like Anissa to Tori. Anissa's like double the seasons there, but you know, people who have been around, done a lot of seasons and just are not able to get the win. It takes people a lot of time. It took Kara like 6, 7, 8 seasons. You never know when it could come around the corner. So I don't have the most confidence in Nelson, but it could happen at some point.
Yeah, it definitely could. I don't know that every single person is rooting for Nelson, but definitely a lot more than I feel like were just a few years ago.
Who's not?
I mean, I have rewatched the Dr. Phil segment recently and, might not be.
I very happily have never watched. So
yeah, I try to avoid, Dr. Phil at all costs, but it did come across my timeline again.
Get Dr. Phil in the challenge as a contestant.
No, thank you. Okay. Hard pass. No Dr. Phil, no Dr. Drew. I don't want any of them. Don't right. bring them for the reunions. I don't need them.
All right, fine. What did you make of Jordan's call home?
I mean, it's something that we have seen a little bit, I feel like, outside of the show, is Jordan has been doing humanitarian work in Ukraine, and like, My feelings on Jordan are well documented, but this is like a very cool thing that he's doing. It's awesome. I'm glad that the show like brings more attention to the war in Ukraine. But yeah.
Yeah, it's always tricky when they, you know, take somebody who especially like the casual challenge audience certainly doesn't know the same things or have the same mindset towards Jordan that, like, you know, more hardcore fans have of like remembering the things that Jordan has said and done in the past. And, you know, that doesn't live in their world. So to them, they're like, oh, here's this guy in the challenge that like got engaged a couple years ago and now he's back and having this drama. But like, oh, like, look at this really cool thing. So, but you know, like it's a little bit more complex for, again, for people who like know more and like maybe aren't thrilled that Jordan's back in the first place. But exactly like you said, at the end of the day, you can't, you know, hate on anything that we're being shown here because this is good stuff. And
yeah,
it is what it
the,
is.
This particular action is like amazing, super great, but being done by someone who has done a ton of things of which I am never going to be in the place to be forgiving him for, and of which that I don't know if I have forgiven him for, even if I am in the place. So I am, on certain other actions. So I am, still feeling how I feel about Jordan, but the action of actually going and doing the humanitarian work and like taking, you know, evacuating people, supplying people, that's super awesome.
Yeah. All right. Moving away from all that, we have two more conversations to get to before the challenge. One is Fessel and Mariah. Fessel's really hoping that Mariah will help make sure that Fessel's safe this round because, you know, it's a guy's elimination day and, people might want to see him go in.
Yeah. I mean, big juicy target. I feel like you got to think that Fessel is like his name's getting called. And I know that they a couple weeks ago like looked at taking a big shot at Jordan and pulled back. And obviously it seemed like a truce was called that we weren't fully privy to on the show just at that moment. But for how long could that have been held? And we got our answer very quickly this week.
Yeah. I'm going to keep this theme going here of like, Mariah's putting me to sleep as well. Like there's a lot going, a lot of people out here that are really just not bringing it for me. And I think Mariah is probably, I feel like I've said this before, like a top competitor, on the women's side in the house. She's shown to be very strong and very capable of a lot of things so far, but her confessionals are just so not there for me.
Would you rather a Mariah return or a Jenny West return?
Ugh, I knew the question before it even came out of your mouth. I don't know. I mean, Jenny West has the accent going for her.
Oh, my God.
Look, this is the Dom and Colin podcast. I got to, you know, channel Colin and just go for the better accent.
I don't know. I feel like Mariah has like some potential, but yeah, I don't think that we have realized it for sure. She did tweet this week about like, oh my God, it's embarrassing watching myself back and seeing like how easily manipulated I was. Like, I know a lot more now. And like, this is really cringe, like watching all of this. But yeah, I think that there is some potential there, whereas Jenny is just kind of going to be dry all the time.
Mariah is just like another bananas number.
Yeah,
unless things go horribly wrong for the two of them, which it doesn't seem like they have. They were just on a podcast together.
I'm not begging for her back, but like I'm gonna be neutral when it does happen.
Yeah, I don't know. And then the last thing here is Devin's pep talk to his team, which we already kind of talked about. Of you're a dog. So. Just hyping everybody up before a challenge because, as you know, he has a decent point just to say that we really shouldn't lose again because morale is like we're maintaining it. We're keeping ourselves as positive as can be, knowing that our team is a lot, you know, smaller, as everybody keeps telling us. And we keep reminding ourselves that we lost two challenges in a row. So we really should try to win this one.
Yeah. You know, it would be a good idea to actually try to win this one this week.
What a novel idea. let's not be losing and throwing. I mean, they're not going to throw, but yeah. Okay. So yeah. We get to the challenge. The helicopter comes on out. Please tell me that the song here, maybe not, I don't know. The song here, did you take any notes of it? Did it bring any memories back for you?
I did not take note of it.
Okay, so I don't know what it's called, but it's like, we fly high, no lie,
oh.
You know it's ballin'.
Yes, of course. This one obviously stood out. Definitely quite the throwback song I had not heard in quite some time, but well, always so, happy to revisit.
I'm so glad that you at least acknowledged or you at least know it, because I was watching with somebody who did not. And I was like, okay, well, Grandpa, let's get you to bed.
No, definitely a staple.
He's so mad at me if he can hear me right now. or when he hears this back. But yeah, so we get to the challenge. It is called Chopper Drop, and it was scary. I feel like I always on the challenge itself versus like a Survivor challenge or Big Brother like competition, I'm always imagining myself doing some of these because they're just a little bit more outlandish. And I was like, oh, this one would scare me.
Yeah, this one does look scary. Like, usually I'm like thinking that a good number of them look pretty fun. I feel like this one looks awful. I don't want to just like dead man's hang for super long and just like potentially come down on the target. Like, that seems like a really bad time.
Yeah.
Or crash into someone else who's also dropping, like pass.
And I mean, like, I also know that my best case scenario is being Nelson in the back of the helicopter, like accidentally getting on the wrong way and then playing, you know, like footsies with somebody's like legs and arms to hold myself up.
Yeah. He's like fully like spider monkeying Fessy trying to like stay forward.
Yeah. So Nelson's like, yeah, you know, typical Nelly T style. Like, no, I probably would have done the same thing. I don't know how that happened, but it is funny watching the entire team fly out, you know, over the water. And Nelson's just twisting and turning and left and right.
I mean, those handles came in like flying all over the place. Yeah. From the air, from the helicopter. But I don't know. I thought that this challenge actually looked cool and was like halfway decent. So I wasn't mad at this one.
And it was quick. It was quick and painless. It was like, you know, just one team goes, does this. The other team goes, does this. It wasn't like, mm-hmm. It didn't drag, you know, too long. It was, I mean, as far as like understanding, you know, the details of, you know, dropping in the certain times, like it didn't look to me like something that was too hard for them to figure out, which makes, you know, which turns out to be true because both teams got it done as, you know, best they could with like the dropping in the right times and the right targets. And then it just came down to a race.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that, I was curious about was they were allowed to put their like two people that were like basically sitting out were allowed to just be like, I think like equidistant with the last target. Mm-hmm. And I was like, should they be a little further back being that like, but I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is there. Obviously they got to choose who of their six players, who were the six best to hold on already. So I don't know how to properly balance that anymore.
Yeah. Like you said, they were basically just sitting out, just kind of showing that they were involved. It was essentially, you know, when a Survivor tribe is down or is up to number of members and they can just sit two people out, but this time they were like, you still participate, but like you don't have to do anything hard except for jump into the water and swim a little bit.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure if they should like be stationed a little further back. Like, should there be four people swimming from the furthest distance? Like, I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is there. What I do know is that there is a Johnny Bananas tweet accusing production of fixing this challenge.
Yeah. Like, I can't even entertain that. Like, it's just funny because it's coming from, you know, the one person who the challenge universe has like accused of the most in life of having the challenge rigged for them, like the challenge in general, not just a challenge. Like, you know, they're like that. Like, that's the joke over the years that like he's the guy that they will rig anything for, and then for him to get on Twitter and be like, they rigged it for the other team in this one challenge by, you know, they won by 2 seconds. It's like, well, if they did, Mr. Producer, you should know that this is better TV. And if they didn't, then shut up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird. I feel like if anyone has had challenges rigged for them in the past, like, let's definitely go with the person who's had the most. He claims that Jordan did not hit the target, and then like the camera even cuts away, but then some people think Nelson also didn't hit the target. Nelson says that like Chauncey fell on top of him, so I don't know. It looked very odd for me on screen even, so who knows what happens ultimately. I don't really care at this point because I feel like I've just accepted it.
Chauncey did seem like he fell. Like, they showed a couple of them like falling, and then it was like, oh, here's a side view of them like in the water. And I was like, yeah, I think was it Nelson and Nelson and Chauncey, they mm-hmm. dropped together, and like from the angle they were at, like from up top, I was like, they are not even anywhere near it. And then they're no. Like, oh, look, they made it 10 points each.
Yeah, so I don't know who did and did not make it, but whatever. This is what I wanted anyway.
I get the idea of like putting people in the back that were more likely to drop earlier. So like Casey and Tori said that that's why they were in the back, and then Mariah and Nani. But it was also like Nani's not the strongest swimmer, I don't think. So maybe like let her just hold on for 10 more seconds, and then you get her so much closer.
Yeah, that's how I kind of felt. And I supposedly Nelson actually suggested this and tried to get the order switched around, but they didn't want to switch up the strategy at the last minute. So that is why they did not end up actually going with that strategy. But yeah, I feel like you want to have people swim. Like that's what took the most time by far, and like determined this challenge was how far people had to swim from. And if you put your slower swimmers towards the front, then that would seem to make this go a lot quicker.
Right. I mean, I guess, the biggest drop zone, the soonest to be dropped into that drop zone, it's like you can mess it up the least. So they put, people back there, not to say that like Casey and Tori are like people they have like little confidence in, but like, I don't know, Nani being in the back spot there, like, okay, I guess I get it.
Yeah, that's the thing is, but I just was, I don't know. I had a hard time believing that some of these people couldn't have held on for 10 more seconds. If it even was that long.
As far as the strategies towards the end of it go, we had on the one team that Fessy is like, so should we go back and get the girls? Like, should we go help them out? And Benaz is like, no, keep going. Fessy does go back and kind of helps Olivia because the water's really cold and they're all really struggling to get through it. And then on the other team, you have the complete opposite where Jordan and Horacio get off that last platform, or they get out of their little, box that they jump into. Horacio goes one way, Jordan goes the other. You're very confused watching. You're like, what is like going on, who's going the wrong way? And then it kind of hits you, oh, he's going to get all of his teammates, which he does, and we get this whole very highlighted segment about teamwork, teamwork, we're a team, we got it done. And then ultimately that team wins. It really just, shows how great they are.
Yeah, it is really hard to swim with someone like on your back or even like pushing someone. And I almost was questioning how much of like a time difference you could make up until I saw Tyson like carry Cachet somehow through the water at the speed of like a dolphin. But I do think that this definitely helped. I was confused how they kept being like, and then like Horacio and Jordan swam back, and I was like, no, Horacio definitely swam forward. Like they kept talking about it as if they both went back. But I did like the shady editing with like you get a clear bananas, like, no, we're not going back. So that was interesting. I wonder if that was, especially with it followed up by like Anissa talking about how much of a better partner Fessel has been this season. I wondered if we were supposed to see that bananas like maybe is not as good of a partner, but I don't know. I think it's outweighed by the constant like love fest that is him and Nani every episode.
I think this was really just like they were showing us what was going on in that team, but it was really just to highlight how good and strong the other team, the underdogs, they literally, throwing it at us like, this is team underdog. Like, we're gonna take their name and call them that and refer to them as that and put the graphics up, and these are the underdogs, and they won.
I almost threw up, first of all, because I thought that was like so cheesy. And then, like, what happened to green and orange? We just established team names, and now we're moving on to team underdog. So, what's the other team's name? Like, I need to know still.
Overdog.
No, they're not the overdogs. I'm not accepting that.
Okay, well, then you can name them yourself because they didn't pick one.
It's still Fessel and Mariah's team. That's it.
Right. Well, if Fessel went home this week, who would have adopted the captaincy?
It still would have been Fessel's team.
Okay. Fair enough.
Nothing changes.
Fair enough. So yeah, great teamwork, exciting. The only thing that was exciting about the end is that Horacio took a shirt off at the time that they were all on the platform together.
There you go.
So 2 seconds separated these two teams. That's suspicious.
I mean, it's a close one.
It is a close, like 2 seconds though. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, look at that.
Devin's taking credit, saying he's one of the best coaches on earth.
You know what? Sure. Like, whatever. I don't know. Another Devin confessional that I will let like roll off my back.
Because like obviously Jordan doesn't want to win every single thing he does and didn't do all the work to get all the people onto the platform.
Yeah, this never would have happened without Devin.
Well, okay. So we go back. It's a men's elimination day. The team underdog is going to have to, of course, go into the deliberation with all four guys on the other side because they're all four still here. We're going to check in with Nelson and Fessy, talking about how Nelson is really just kind of feeling down. 9 seasons in, feels like he's not stepped up enough, not, doing well enough, and just kind of down about it all. And both of them obviously no, like this is no surprise. You know, the way that we're going into this next elimination is that it's obvious that Nelson and Fessy would save each other if they're both down there in the draw, which prompts Chauncey and Bananas to make a deal with each other that, like, yes, we'll save each other because obviously those two guys are going to save each other. So we need to have that same deal going. And, you know, Nelson and Fessy, their relationship has been highlighted throughout the season, former friends. Then there was this and then there was that. And now they're back together working on the same page. And Corey is being like, don't do that. And Nelson's doing it anyway. So I don't know. Are you like bored of this storyline between these two, which is going to get to the elimination, or are you still any way compelled by it?
I think it's fine. Like, I would have been bored if it had lasted the entire season probably, but I feel like it ends at like the proper point.
But like when it's back next season as well, it's like take six of Felsen.
Then yes, I'll be bored, especially when it's like someone trying to use it as a strategy of like, remember when he did that to you? Shouldn't you throw him in? Like, shut up. Like, this is really like the decoy boot that we have is like Nelson betraying Fessel again. So yeah, I'm not going to buy it every time.
Yeah. Well, when they go into the deliberation, as far as the four guys coming in, it's the same as last week. We get absolutely nothing.
Yeah, a hard no. Like, just skip it. I'm done.
Literally like, nothing from them. Like, I'm not saying names. Okay, move along.
I wish they would edit this out. Like, I really don't want to see this at all.
Yeah, I mean, the only part of it that may be worthwhile, which I guess is enough, is seeing the team talking to themselves. But it's always awkward because they're not even looking at each other. Well, they're facing the camera while the team is, you know, saying, so what are we going to do this week?
Yeah. Which is fine. We could just do that like as is, like just have that moment, or maybe even have like that moment and the other team like meet like together. I don't know. I just don't know how to spice this up because it's giving literally nothing.
Yeah. Operation Save Chauncey was in effect because he's obviously the weakest guy on the other team. So everybody wants him around, especially Amber, who of course wants her man around. And that's that. The piece of paper, in case anybody was like, oh, maybe they'll talk about it because they didn't like pause it on the paper, was literally just like, we're trying to save Chauncey. Option one, Bananas versus Nelson. Option two, Nelson versus Fessy. Option three, Bananas versus Fessy.
It wasn't super basic.
Yeah. Wasn't anything exciting there. And yeah, again, the deliberations themselves were just absolutely nothing. Devin points out Bananas, you know, seven wins. So it's always interesting to hear that brought up because, you know, they're talking about it behind the scenes. But like, you know, it's Johnny Bananas. He's a big threat. This is twice in one episode that we're hearing people talk about, you know, we can't just keep ignoring this guy. We probably should maybe think about it as we get closer and closer to the final.
Yeah, maybe we just will still ignore it this week. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, why not? What do you think Fessel's shirt said?
Ooh, that I tried to figure out and I ultimately completely forgot to look at it on the second watch.
Well, if anybody has any leads, very curious why his shirt was completely blurred out. It wasn't just like, a little logo in the corner, like the whole damn shirt.
Yeah, that blur. Always makes me curious. Like, how did this get approved?
Yeah. Well, whoever approved it and told him he can go in there, I wonder if they are still on the production team. That blur was stupid looking. So, when they get back to the house, are we up to this? Jordan and Devin are going to come together again. These two people who barely have a whole lot of trust in each other, as far as we've ever been able to see, are working relatively well together as a team.
Yeah, Devin is saying they can do whatever they want and that the vote all comes down to them. And then, you know, I don't feel like there's even that much there. We get more into, I think the interesting part is Fessel and Jordan talking.
Yeah. Jordan does make a point here about Fessel's elimination record, which is kind of almost what we were saying about Amber and Amber's elimination wins to this point. It's like they're both very impressive and have very good records. Fessel after this week is now 4-0. But it's like the eliminations that they've gotten have been very beneficial to both of them for the most part. Amber, I would say less so because she's been in a couple more, but Fessel has literally, right, only done pole wrestle and hall brawl.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is that he's gone in against really strong people, but in matchups, like in matches that like actively favor him in terms of like the game, whereas Amber has gone into, I would say, a variety of different games. They're not necessarily all in her skill set, but against maybe some weaker competitors.
Like if Devin Walker got a puzzle every single time he went in, he'd be undefeated in eliminations. But that's just, you know, everybody has their skill set. Fessy's is obviously that he's a big, strong guy, but not every elimination is about that. Sometimes it's the one that...
Just most of them.
That's just what?
Just most of them.
Just most of them. The elimination that just popped into my mind is the one that Bananas and Morgan got eliminated to on War of the Worlds, with like putting like countries on the board, or like flags or something on the board. Like sometimes that's the elimination.
Yeah, rarely, but the fact that you had to go back to War of the Worlds 1. But yeah, I would say that they definitely can mix it up. The problem is then when they mix it up and it's just completely available for the entire cast to help them with. So, but yeah, in general, it depends on what you get.
There's a lot of old school eliminations I'd love to see back. Off-season podcast idea. Let's look through some of them. And how would Fessel do upside down in the big tank of water while Mariah, you know, climbs up top to like give him to take the answer key and, you know, solve a puzzle?
I would be very curious to see him in the elimination where it's like climbing through the cage with the rope, which I feel like used to be more interesting. Now it's just come down to like a very boring strategy of like tie a bunch of knots in one corner. And maybe that's, I think it's because the cage is too big, but whatever. And so he's like someone who does have endurance on top of his size. So curious if he could still convert that to a win, but yeah, I am curious to see him compete in other types of challenges and how he would do.
I want to see Fessel in the fly swatter elimination.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Now I'm just racking my brain for ridiculous eliminations that we've seen over the years. I want to see Fessel in the elimination that's like, you know, I have no idea what it's called, but you like say how much you can like lift or how much you could pick up kind of thing, and then you have to one up the other person.
Yeah, the I can or whatever, yeah, with the watermelons. Yeah. And yeah.
Because you know that he would say that he could do way more than he probably could. And maybe he would do it because he is a very strong guy. But like, I feel like he would up himself a lot and beat himself, you know, that way.
I'm curious because I feel like he almost would have like be acutely aware of how much he could do. Like, yeah, I feel like he is someone who like is doing this actively very often.
He knows what he can do. Yeah.
Yeah, he might like overestimate and do like the conversion wrong in terms of like how much does this watermelon weigh on average. But I do think he probably has like an acute sense of how much he can actually lift in those situations.
But we don't get those kind of like those things anymore.
No, we don't.
Yeah. All right. Where are we? So, yeah, like you said, we're going to get into it with Jordan and Fessel later on, talking about how Fessel's like, yeah, I think that we can just like duke it out in the final, you know, really just pushing that angle. And Jordan doesn't really like lock it. He like goes out of his way to say like, I'm not guaranteeing you that I'm not going, but like he just kind of is like, yeah, I'm not going to say your name.
Yeah, well, he does say like, yeah, like you said, he says, I'm not going to say your name. He doesn't guarantee that that won't result in him still not going in, but like I won't be saying your name. I feel like it's not super surprising to see these two working together. I do think that it's mutually beneficial. I think they both have really good shots at a final if they make it there. And like in most eliminations, but just going into repeated eliminations is always going to be their worst enemy because people realize that they're threats. So I think that a good truth for them to have. I'm curious to talk out the benefits and or negatives for either of them betraying it a little later.
Okay. Well, then for now, we talk about Tori and Jordan again, because that's everybody's favorite topic.
Woohoo. Yeah, Tori really was likable for a minute. But I feel like we're getting back a little bit to the old Tori of like, well, if you do this, like, know how it's going to affect. And like came in a little hot here. I don't think that it was aggressively bad, but Jordan has an ego. I think that's well established. And I would think that Tori would know that better than almost anyone.
Yeah, there's some players who have like, you know, the tact in the way that they deliver this kind of thing to be like, you know, like if this like, you know, person gets voted in, like I'm not going to be very happy, like in a joking kind of way, but still get your point across. But she just comes up to him being like, you're going to ruin our relationship if you do this.
Yeah, exactly. Like this will 100% determine the outcome of our relationship on the outside because of this. Like, you could just be, you know, like you would make me look really stupid. I'd be really upset. Like blah, blah, blah. Like that is not a threat directly, even though you might be implying it. Whereas Toria is directly threatening their relationship.
Yeah, it's tough here for like to try to figure out yet again which like side I take the most, because on one hand I'm like, I get it, like Tori has been looking out for Jordan, she always does, but like Jordan's also looking out for Tori in the sense of like he's never going to let her be the vote, or he's never going to say her name, and he's always going to push it in the other direction. Like she was like, "Do you have my back?" And he's like, "Why do you have to ask? Like, of course you know I do. Like, I'm not putting you in." So in the same way, it's like, okay, well, she has his back. She's not going to say his name and make sure that the vote doesn't go on him. But that doesn't that you can't necessarily like ask for that to be like extended to everybody that I want to save. Like, you have to make every move that I want to make.
Yeah, well, that's my thing. Is like, is Tori really looking out for Jordan because like their relationship is so strong? Because I remember 2 weeks ago when Tori was like, no, we throw in Jordan. No, Jordan's the biggest threat. No, Jordan is going in. So I think that ultimately it came down to her realizing that like maybe the big threats on either side should align together, because I am one of those people who may have their name come up sooner rather than later if we're throwing in big names. So I think that Tori is still in self-preservation here and in preserving her team. I don't think it's necessarily like, Jordan, I am so hurt by what you're doing, as much as like, I vouched for you and you're screwing me over and making me look stupid as well.
Yeah. I'm good on the rest of this for now. Unfortunately, I can't be, because we still have more to talk about, because we're about to get to the elimination where it's just going to be amped up, several notches as we're, ready to get right into it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so, go ahead.
Once we get down here, everyone's going to vote like usual. Jordan says that he was going to totally not vote this way until an hour ago, and he has an emotional terrorist on his hands, and he can't negotiate with her, and it's all Tori's fault that he's voting for Fessel.
Like, whatever, dude. Like...
I don't believe him.
And it just causes another, Tori and Jordan screaming match up top, where like it's, and these are so frustrating to me, because Tori is like visibly upset, screaming at the top of her lungs, like trying to get across to this guy, and he just like takes a laughing approach to it, which I always hate, because that's just how Jordan talks to women sometimes. And it just is so uncomfortable. So these fights are never fun. Like plenty of fights on the challenge are fun. These aren't fun.
Yeah. I don't think that it actually changed his decision. I think it changed the reasoning that he gave for his decision. I think that it is like partially motivated by pissing off Tori, and the fact that like Tori and Fessel were the two that were hooking up, that he was complaining about, in part. So I think that that definitely comes into consideration here, but also to have Tori being like, well, this isn't my fault. Like, just know this is not my fault. Like, I didn't do this. Like, all right, Tori, like you can't push everything off of you all of the time. And I don't know. I just feel like it was coming off like a little sketchy as well here.
Yeah, and like, so as far as like the move itself goes, which I think you would maybe wanted to get into, unless I'm getting to something else, but it's...
So, yeah.
Go ahead.
So basically my thing here is that Jordan like blames this on Tori and votes in Fessel, and what we see on the TV show is that it's in an attempt to get Fessel versus Nelson into the elimination. Mm-hmm. What we hear from Nelson on the podcast is that the plan was actually that they thought that maybe Chauncey would save Nelson and it would be Fessel versus Bananas, and that's why they're voting in Fessel instead of Nelson. And I just don't see a world in which everyone believed that was going to happen. And so that is kind of in question for me. But if you were going for the goal of Nelson versus Fessel, I feel like you get the best of both worlds, where you keep your hands clean and this elimination still happens by voting in Nelson. So I don't know if Jordan's vote was necessary here.
Yeah, I mean, I think the goal at this point is to get the big player, right? So it's not Nelson's the easy vote, because a lot of them have reason to say his name, but they wanted to go for the big player, right? They wanted to go for Fessy. They wanted to get him in there.
My thing is, I will take a 66% chance that Fessel goes in, rather than the 100% chance that I am the target next week.
I guess. But also, it's not a guy's elimination next week.
Yeah, sure.
So
fair.
Jordan himself doesn't have to really worry about that, I guess. And Jordan also, like, so suppose the other team wins next week, and, it's a women's elimination day. So you're looking at Amber, Nani, and who am I missing? Mariah. Like, any of those women going home does not piss Jordan off, or Devin.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious. I mean, I still assume there's going to be another round, like men's round of this. So I do think that Jordan, should they lose, is going to be probably the primary vote there. But I think that, like, it could have been done, like, what, like, he's just, like, my reputation and my legacy is on the line. Like, if he's really thinking that, which I think he kind of is, then I think that, like, it's much cleaner just to vote in Nelson.
Most of the rest of the votes make sense. Amber votes Nelson, Nani votes Nelson as people that had been voted in by or voted for by him earlier in the season. That's what happens when you win, I guess. I don't know. Devin votes for Fessel, which I was not surprised about because they had talked about it. But like, I thought Devin and Big Brother had been kind of, you know, mending fences, but you know, it's a different game. Horacio votes for Fessel to just kind of keep in line with the boys there. And then Mariah's vote is a big cause of controversy. She votes for Chauncey, which essentially just puts Fessel into elimination.
Just, like, so incredibly dumb. Like, to be like, oh, I have to worry about my guys. Like, well, what if, like, you vote for Nelson, it ties up, and then they say that, like, all right, if you can't come to an agreement, then, like, your team's going to go in. Then guess what? All three guys that voted for Fessel, one of them is going to fold. They're not going to put themselves into elimination. They're the three votes that are on Fessel. It's not as if it's, like, all of the women are on Fessel and they have no incentive to fold because they're not going to go in anyway.
It's, I mean, I think it was Anissa maybe that was like classic rookie kind of mistake. And I was like, yeah, I can't disagree with her here. It's, you know, it just kind of felt like, you know, maybe Jordan or Devin had said to her, you know, before they went in, like, if there's a tie vote, but for any reason, like one of us are in danger. And Mariah was like, yeah, I can't have that happen. So, you know,
yes, so dumb, just like so dumb. As far as like Devin's vote that you said, like, oh, I thought they were working together. Like, when the alternative is Nelson, I think that's all like pretty easily explained away. I think Fessel will like get that Nelson and Devin are closer than Devin is with Fessel. But yeah, like Mariah's vote is just like so incredibly bad here.
Yeah. So that's unfortunate for her. I'm sure she didn't love watching that back. And I mean, she got lucky that, that her boy did come back into the house. But putting him in that spot to, like, you know, ensure that he's going down there when there's a chance that it really very easily could have gone the other way.
Yeah. I mean, could have been a 33% chance, you know, that he stays. Like, I understand the thought of, like, well, he's probably going in anyway, but, like, probably is not definitely.
Yeah. And when it's like, it just didn't even look like she had cared. She, you know, and we know that, you know, the relationship between the two of them has been kind of, you know, iffy, and Fessy's like, oh, I don't think that like she thinks anything negative of me. And she's like, yeah, I know he like doesn't care about me at all. So,
I mean, because he basically told her that. So it's like Fessel is like screwed this up for himself in being like, not my partner, not my problem, and all of whatever else we've heard he said. But even the like, well, you're going to like help me win, aka throw. And she's like, well, why didn't you for me? He's like, oh, well, I didn't think, like, she's not stupid. Yeah. Like, she's not a stupid person. And you can't just like continuously like lie to her and expect her never to figure it out. Right. So, I don't know. I think that like Fessel did this to himself to a certain point in that she wasn't willing to like take his word for it and like, you know, do whatever it took to save him, but still bad on Mariah's behalf.
Bananas is going to go first in the dagger pulling, and he pulls the blank one or a blank one. Chauncey is going to pull the safe dagger, which is going to obviously give him the choice between two challenge legends. I don't disagree with both of them being legends in their own right, but it is very funny to say that with one never winner versus seven.
I just don't think he's a legend at this point.
You don't think Nelson is?
Like, first of all, he's choosing between, yeah, it's Nelson first. I was thinking Fessel for a second. No. I don't know. Still a legend. So it feels like a lot, but
yeah, I mean, it's certainly, especially when you put, if it was like Nelson on one side and, Devin on the other, it's like, okay, maybe we don't hold, we use that word for both of them. If you're putting, you know, you have to use the word for bananas. And you have one great character player versus legend, like
you could be like two all timers, two all stars, two like, you know, behemoths, yeah. Like whatever you want to say.
TJ's gonna hype his boys up.
I don't know. Legend is fine. Like Nelson is definitely a face of the franchise, but I just don't have him. Like if I'm actually like putting together a list of the legends, I don't have Nelson there.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of like faces of things, that reminded me that Devon and Devin are like in Times Square for the Challenge podcast. And yet I'm still getting commercials on my TV for check out the official Challenge podcast hosted by Ride or Dies, Tori and Anissa. Like Tori hasn't been on all season.
Anissa's
been on like three times.
So dumb. But very happy that they got their Times Square billboard.
Yes. Okay, back to the show. So Chauncey pulls the safe dagger, saves Bananas, and that was just a big duh to me. You know, those guys were going to save each other, and Fessy and Nelson were going to save each other.
Yep. So do you think there's any world in which Chauncey should have saved Nelson?
Nope.
Yeah, I agree.
Nope.
But just
nope.
checking.
Nope, not at all. They've not had a single ounce of a relationship all season, and Nelson put them down there with the very intention of being like, we don't have you guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I think if I'm Chauncey, I would rather face Bananas in an elimination. Maybe not in a final than Nelson, but if I have to go into elimination next week, I think I probably would rather face Bananas.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Yeah. So the elimination is going to be called, I think, Spearhead. It's Fessel versus Nelson. They are in this little cube, and there's 9 spears total, I believe. They have 3 spears on each side and then 3 up above them. You have to pull them, yank them, rip them out of the drywall that they are currently inside of. And at first it seems like both of them don't realize like exactly what's going on here. They're like, you know, try to pull them out, and it's like, oh no, this is going to be hard. Like you got to like rip them out of the walls, which as soon as you see how like the first one or two start getting pulled out, it's like, all right, well, congratulations, Fessy.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like Nelson was so gassed by the end of this. I was almost like, imagine if this had been like Devin versus Kenny.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it would have been a little tough. So Kenny, who, you know, couldn't figure out which tools to use on a lock, but I think this challenge ultimately, I thought it was good. I liked this elimination. I, like I said earlier, was pretty indifferent on who ended up staying. But I think that you probably had a preference.
Did I have a preference here? That's a good question. No?
Interesting. Okay.
What would you say my preference was, Nelson?
I would have thought you would have preferred Nelson to stay.
Yeah, I'm not like the biggest, like I get the Nelson love in the sense of like, you know, we're all just like, yeah, go Nelson. But like, I'm not like the biggest Nelson fit. Like I'm not like invested in his success. And Fessy certainly not. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, I know Puya was rooting for Nelson, but sadly for him, he goes home here. So I don't know.
And I feel don't like want the world to see me because I don't think that they'd understand.
What was it? Just 2 weeks ago that you were like hyping up Asia saying like, I'm worried about you having Nelson and Nerys on your team. And here we are.
Well, they had been winning all the dailies. Two of them, maybe three.
All right. Well, where did Nelson and Nerys go wrong?
Where did they go wrong? Winning the dailies?
I think winning the dailies is a fair answer. I think my bigger point is if you win those dailies, why did we throw in Amber and Chauncey? Why did we throw in Darrell and Veronica? Right. Like, you know, Nelson is on the podcast being like, I had phenomenal relationships with Darrell. I had a great relationship with Amber. And it's like, then why did you throw them in? Like all of these people who end up eliminating you from this season, last season, the season before, like it's all of the same people. And yet you keep protecting them season after season.
Right. And then going out in the exact same spot.
So yeah, it's going to happen over and over. Like you cannot, like, I'm sorry, you're not closer with like Anissa and Tori than they are with each other or with Nani and Bananas or with Jordan or like you're not. So like give up.
But they do such a good job at making him think like he's in and he's part of the core and he's one of them and it's vet strong until it comes down to this exact point in the season where it's time to cut somebody and they're like, Nani's like, without a second thought. And I know that Nelson said her name or whatever, but like without a second thought, it's like Nelson can go in. I'm fine.
And I think it always would have been like,
yeah,
I think, you know, it's like there weren't enough people that they could have avoided saying like Nani and Bananas and like whoever. But like even if he had said all of Nani and Bananas' friends, but not them, they still would have voted for him. So it doesn't make any difference. They should have just thrown in Nani and Bananas when they had the chance. They should have not nominated like Amber and Chauncey when they had the chance. I just feel like this was so avoidable.
This is where, like, I see differences in, like, Corey and Nelson as players. Of Corey, I feel like, will take those bigger shots. I don't have, you know, stats to back this up, or like, you know, memory to tell you when he has, but like, he strikes me as the type of person that will go for the bigger shots and not mm-hmm. be afraid to do that. Where Nelson, I feel like, just sits in the same comfortable place and he's like, well, I don't want to like make any enemies. Like, I want to work with these guys. Like, we've been coming together and we're going to, you know, go forward and that's strong. And all of us are, you know, and now Corey, I just feel like is, you know, I mean, sure. Corey's sitting at his house right now saying, you know, cut those guys. But like, you know, at a certain point, you have to cut those guys. You have to, you know, and Nelson had his opportunities a couple different times. He did essentially choose the side he was going to be on, but then when you end up with like Amber and Chauncey going in versus Darrell and Veronica, it's like, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if that was going to be like the outcome, then 100% should not have won. But like, even at the point where they had them nominated, I feel like there was a world like in which they could have gotten out of it, or just like nominate Casey and Kenny instead. Like, you're already nominating like Jordan and Anissa and Nani and Bananas. Like, just nominate all their friends. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. This was a very big goodbye for Nelly T. You know, TJ, I'm positive you'll be back. Of course he'll be back. It's Nelson. Like, you know.
Yeah.
he's a fan favorite. He's a cast favorite. And, you know, somebody's got to go out in the middle of the season towards the second half of the season. So, you know, that's his favorite spot. Mm-hmm. Or that or right before the final. So.
It's true.
You know, they can't have somebody else take up one of those spots when they're reserved for Nelson. So we get some Goo Goo Dolls playing as Olivia comes down for a kiss. And this story doesn't end well, in case anybody wants that kind of spoiler. In real life, Olivia was very recently on, I think it was the Official Challenge podcast or something like that. It's been documented across different areas of social media that these two are not together. It didn't seem like it ended very well. Nelson does seem pretty down about it all. I think he might have mentioned it on the Challenge podcast that this week.
Yeah, he was like, oh, I'm going to keep it to myself. Yeah. Like, I don't know what happened, but I don't know.
I'm sure it came up with a reunion. Anyway.
Whatever. Yeah. I don't need to hear it. So, I'm over it.
That's it. that's the Nelson story. And we already talked about, you know, he's going to have Nerisse come back in and the two of them will walk out together. And, you know, they're looking at each other like, you know, Nerisse is like, you didn't disappoint me. Don't worry. And it's like, well, you both lost eliminations on your own here. It's like neither one of you let the other down in elimination. Like, you know, Nerisse going in last week was not something that, you know, was because of Nelson or anything like that. It was just both of the, like we're saying, or at least like I'm potentially suggesting that they made a lot of enemies by saying a lot of names and people were happy to say their names to go in. They, you know, won a lot of those challenges that showed Nerisse, showed everybody how threatening Nerisse could be. I don't think that's why Nelson was targeted, but you know, he's got a tight relationship with a guy who both of them just kind of sit outside the core alliance, and it's just the spot that they keep finding themselves in. So I don't know.
Yeah, unfortunate, but is what it is. Even like, you know, his relationship with Olivia doesn't save him. He even talked about on the podcast how he had thought about like, should I be throwing on like Women's Day so that Nerisse is safe? But him having a relationship with Olivia ultimately caused him to start thinking that like, no, I need to protect Olivia too, so I can't throw just and like put her in danger. So lots of things went wrong here for Nelson.
Nelson doesn't come into these seasons, and correct me if you think otherwise, with like a game plan and with like pre-gaming, like as much well, as a Devin or a Tori does.
Well, that's like an obvious statement.
At the people who make the finals every season.
Yeah, but like, okay, you're asking, like, do I think that, like, I don't even know, like, how to, like, even come about this. Like, do I think that, like, a dog is more able to bark than a cat? Like, sure, I don't know.
How many
like,
cats have you talked to?
Fair, but it's just, like, that is what Devin does, and like what Tori has learned to do is, like, they scheme and plot, and that's how they get to the end, and Nelson, like, runs through a brick wall to get to the end. Like, that is why they're on the show. That's what they do. Always been their strength. And Nelson, like, it would be great if he could learn that part of the game. And I think that he, like, does play it to an extent. But when it's, like, Devin's only way to get there, he's going to have to rely on it a lot more.
Yeah. Well, that's all I really have. I don't want to give Nelson too much of a, shaming for his game. I'm sure he's feeling it enough, and there'll be plenty of more opportunities to say the exact same thing that I'm saying right now in future seasons.
The next five seasons.
So, yeah. Anything else from you for this week or anything that we've missed, or I don't know, what else is going on?
Not really. I feel like there's still like random casting stuff coming about the other shows, but when that gets more solid, I feel like we'll talk about them. So, no, I'm good.
Have you even tried Challenge AU at all?
No, I have not. How about you?
Yeah, I haven't either. Maybe at some point. It seems like a very easily bingeable 1.5x kind of thing. But I'm also like not rushing to do it while this challenge is on as well. I don't know. It got taken off of
Yeah.
like the main network that it was on.
Yeah, I did hear the ratings were not so great, so I don't think this is like a future franchise that I need to be investing in.
Yeah.
I've also heard mixed things about it. I've also heard that some of the behavior on the show has been abhorrent and not really dealt with by production. So that's also discouraging. And I hope that they get that under control if they ever do decide to, renew it, reboot it, whatever.
All right, well then, in that case, that's all I have for this week. So thank you guys for checking this episode of the podcast out. Of course, we'll be back next week with whatever comes next here in the challenge Ride or Dies. I am on Twitter at Matt Liguori, and I've got nothing else for you to check out at the moment. It is the end of the year. Thank you guys for checking us out all year long for another calendar year in the books. 2022 is we're saying goodbye in a couple of days. So wishing everybody the best New Year or New Year's Eve. I don't know what I'm
I don't
wishing
know.
you, but
Both.
yeah, have a great new year. Let's all hope for some good content here in the challenge world. We probably won't get it, but we'll be here to talk about it anyway. So there's
Yeah,
that.
that would be nice. Let's get some good content.
Yeah, let's like I mean the least we can do is wish and hope for it. But that's that. What are you up to?
Just on Twitter at Brian_Scally, and anything else that I end up doing, I will post there.
All right. Big New Year's plans?
Going to hang out at a friend's house, and they're having some people over.
Okay. Well,
How about you?
yeah, Jofo's having a little get together with some friends that apparently he does every year.
Ooh.
So, probably the first time in like a long time that I've had New Year's plans.
Ooh.
You usually just sit home waiting for like a FaceTime to pop up so that I can talk to people. And
There you
maybe that'll
go.
still happen and I can like say hi to people while I'm, surrounded by people for the first New Year's Eve in a long time. So should be fun.
There you go.
But yeah, that's it. Happy New Year to everyone out there. Make sure that you are, of course, subscribed to the network and all that stuff going into the new year and leaving us reviews and star ratings and all that kind of stuff. If you have enjoyed our commentary here on the challenge throughout the year of 2022 and the season of Ride or Dies and any time that you've ever checked us out. So thank you again, everybody, for listening. And until next week, until next year, take care, everybody.